Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ariana, welcome to Do Did Will, the Story of People podcast. How are you?
Good, thank you. I'm glad to be here. I'm excited to get into this.
This for me is a new venture. So I launched a brand new show. Obviously, you're episode number three, which is great, and I appreciate the time for you making it today because I know you're a busy college kid and all the rest of it. But when I was laying out the premise for this show about people who do, people who did, and people who will, you're one of the first people that I thought of specifically for the will section because of, you know, the journey that you've been on thus far, and then, but where you're going to go, because the future is extremely bright for you. So this was exciting that I was able to lock you in here and get you on the, and get you on the show. And a little, you know, you were a neighbor before, you're off along the way. And so it's just great to watch you, you know, rise to where you are now. So anyways, Do Did Will, the Story of People podcast, has launched. We're episode three. My guest this week, Ariana Hunsecker, you have a hell of a story and I can't wait to talk about it and dive into it today. So, what we're going to do is we're going to just get right into it because this is the fun part. Ariana, what do you do?
Well, I am a para swimmer, not quite Paralympic yet. That's my goal. We will get into that. But yeah, I am a para athlete. And this journey for me started about when I was 12 years old. I actually hated the concept of like swimming in general. I think I was just like a really lazy child and swimming seemed really hard, but I actually have a friend who has an impairment. I should get into that first of all. I was born with dysmalia. I have fingers missing on my left hand. And so that is the impairment that I compete under. And so I actually had a friend who also has a physical impairment like me, and she also swims. And one day she encouraged me to get into it. And within my first year, I excelled really fast. It was definitely the sport I was meant to be in, and I just found such a passion for it. And yeah, there's just so many things that I found along the way that I loved, and eventually I climbed the ladder high enough to start competing nationally and internationally. And in 2019, that photo there is me when I swam at the 2019 Para Pan American Games. That was my first national team debut, where I made my first national team. And there I came home with 5 bronze medals for Canada, which is really sweet. That's still to this day one of my biggest wins and inspirations. But yeah, so I am just continuing on the path of swimming and I'm still in it. I'm still very early in my career, so you haven't seen me yet, but yeah, so
it's very exciting. Both my kids were in competitive swim in the Langley Olympian Swim Club for a long time, and they would still be in it if scheduling wasn't such a pain in the butt for them. It's become extremely popular now because as kids growing up, it's you take swimming lessons and you do this, you know, you do that. And I don't think a lot of
5 a.m. practices that are hard.
You know, and I don't think a lot of people think about it going to, you know, or what competitive swim means. And I remember they got invited out as a guest, and the coaches said, well, they have to stop taking lessons because we're going to teach them a different way and we're going to teach them how to, you know, be strong in the pool. And I didn't know what that meant until I started watching it and then got ingrained in the competitive swim world. And it was fascinating to me. So because it's just so competitive, but it's also an independent sport as well. And you're competing against yourself a lot and a lot of personal bests and going after it. But I'm seeing that you didn't really get into the swimming side of it until you were around 12 years old, which seems a little late. It seems a little late to me. Is that because of, your situation that you were in, or you didn't think about swimming at that point, or how did that come together?
Well, I actually did a lot of other sports before swimming. Like, swimming was never like something that I thought of. Like, it wasn't a sport that I was necessarily guided towards because, well, I don't know. I'm like a big hockey family, so like I'm sure most Canadians are, but I did like a few other sports that I just ended up really, really sucking at. Like, I did figure skating, which did not go well. And right before swimming, I was actually a diver, so another like water type sport, but I was very much not good at that at all either. But during this whole time, I was in different sports, but I was also in swimming lessons. And swimming lessons is where like I excelled. So this is why, like, for those years prior to me actually joining competitive, my like mom would always say, like, you're really good at swimming, why don't you try swimming? And like I said, I just was never into it. Like, I was just into my other sports. And then when I finally made the jump to swimming, that's when it actually started for me. But it took a while, but I was always a good swimmer.
They're definitely in that space as well. And I guess we'll get into that when we get into the, how did you get, you know, how did, you know, how did you do it? But you compete right now as a para swimmer, and you were very specific in that you're not an Olympic, like a Paralympian just yet. So question to you about that, as far as currently a para swimmer, can you define that? How broad of a base of that? How broad of competition is that? Like, how many people are involved in para swimming?
So the cool thing about para swimming and any para sport in general is there's different levels of impairment. So for me, I would be what you would consider in simplest terms like least impaired, because I simply swim with my like dysmalia of my left hand. But there's all sorts of levels. There could be people who are like in wheelchairs, people who have cerebral palsy. There's a variety of different abilities. And we get put into different classifications. So I swim under what you would call the S10 classification. So the range of physical impairments goes from S1 to S10. So on that range, obviously, I would be the highest. And then there's also visually impaired and intellectually impaired, which is a whole other system. But pretty much the whole basis of that is when I'm competing, let's say at the Paralympic Games, I'll be competing against people who are also S10s. And that doesn't mean they have like the same hand as me. It could mean they have like part of their leg missing. It could mean, like I just said, they have cerebral palsy. There's like a wide variety of disabilities, and you get put into a class that you compete in. And so when I'm at the highest level of competing, like let's say I went to Worlds this past year, and like I just said, the Paralympics, I'd be competing only with people my impairment for medals and all that kind of stuff. But like if I'm competing, let's say in Canada, I compete against everyone of all disabilities, and we make that fair through a point system, which is I think based around world records. So I could obviously touch the wall before someone who is like an S5, but I may not beat them because if they scored more points than me. So it kind of depends on which level of competition you're at. I'd say the lower level competitions with like a less range of field, you compete against everyone and use a point system. But when you're at the highest level, like you have a bigger depth of field. So there's a lot of people that you compete against in your own category, if that makes enough sense.
Yeah, and where do you, well, and it sounds fair. It definitely sounds fair. And there, so where do you spend most of your time focused on for your training and competing then? Like, what, knowing that, and knowing that point system exists, and where do you have to focus your efforts then?
It actually quite doesn't matter at all for your training. Until October of 2021, I train, sorry, with people who are able-bodied swimmers. So I didn't even train with anyone who has also had any kind of impairment for the longest time. And that was fine when I was younger, and it doesn't really matter even now. Like now I'm at the National Center for Swimming in Quebec for para swimmers. And so we have a variety of different people with different disabilities. But when you train at a center, your workouts and your everything is individualized anyway. And I'm sure we'll get more into the training regime and stuff. But it doesn't really matter for your training. You basically train like with yourself for yourself. So whether I was training with someone with or without an impairment, I would get the same value.
Well, it's, I mean, three, mine were in 3 days a week, and that was, they were dragging their heels at that point.
Oh,
So I mean, how much are you training? I mean, you must be in the pool every day now, but how much are you, what's a typical schedule for you?
Well, it can shift a bit, but currently my training schedule is 7 times in the water and 4 times in the gym. So I usually do, it depends on the day. Like right now, since I do sprint events, I do a heavier gym and less swimming. But most of my fellow teammates do 8 swims, and that's what I was doing up until, and let's say maybe like 2 months ago. But yeah, right now I get Sundays off, so lucky me. But
Oh,
I
you're spending
train,
it here. So nice of you.
yeah.
Thank you.
But other than that, I usually train like I said, that's what, 7, 8, 9, 11 times. So that's doubles, and I do triples on Thursdays. So it's a really heavy training schedule for sure.
Well, you're going for it though, right? So, I mean, you
Yeah.
have to put the time in. It's the old 10,000 hours rule, which I'm sure you've exceeded, but you got to put the 10,000 hours in to be an expert in your field and to be that place. Okay, so we know what you do, but how did you do it? Ariana, how did you do it?
The training was a good start. I spent countless hours in the pool. And you mentioned that your kids were in club swimming. And those were some very early morning days, I will say. When you're in like the high school age, you swim with a general club, and that's what I swam with up until, like I just previously mentioned, October of 2021. I trained just locally at a club in Surrey. And those were a little bit more difficult because we were 5:15 on deck in the morning for training. And that's in the middle of like high school and having all those classes and stuff. So I used to get up at 5 4 times a week. And I should also give a shout out to my mom for driving me to most of those practices.
Right.
That's probably maybe been worse for her, but the early mornings, those were definitely a bit of a grind. But I'm really lucky now that I train her. I now train my mornings are like 8 to 10 now, which is like drastically different than 5. It's still early considering I'm up at like 6:15, but like nowhere near being up at 4:30. So a lot of early mornings, like I said, a huge training tool. I basically commit most of my life to training because even when I'm not in the water, I'm not at the gym, I'm recovering, I'm like practicing good nutrition. There's so many things that go into this, not to mention even traveling. I spend a lot of time traveling for training and for competition. So my life basically eat, sleeps, and breathes swimming. If that makes sense, with a little bit of extra on the side. I'm also in school as well, university now. I'm taking finance. Yeah.
You could be your own agent, so in that in the training side of it, and taking it back just a little bit to you in lessons, and you took the lessons, and you're finding that you were doing real well. At what point did you say, wait a minute, I think I can do this and compete? Like, at what point were you like, I think I'm good at this. I think I'm gonna do good at this.
I mean, it was actually my very first year of swimming. I excelled so fast that one of the provincial like coaches like actually came up to me and got me into the system right away to start competing like provincially and even nationally. And I remember within that first year, I actually won Rookie of the Year, which is like an award for like our entire club, like not just for paraswimmers or anything. It was our whole club. Like I had improved the most in my times in the period of a year. And yeah, so I got my name on this like huge plaque. It was kind of cool. And that was kind of the moment where I'm like, wow, like look how much I improved in a year. Like this is the first sport that I've actually been good at, and like drastically. And so ever since like that first year, I really like felt that I had the motivation to continue, and just seeing my growth is enough to make me want to do it more. And then obviously from there, like it just excelled like tenfold. I went from like a provincials that year to nationals the next year to going international pretty soon after
That's fast. That's fast.
that.
And were your coaches, they must have recognized it and were like,
Yeah.
wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, go, 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 go. And they come to your parent, they're like,
Yeah.
she's got to go 7 days a week. She's gonna make it, or we see some
Yeah.
major potential in there, like anything else, right? That's got to be a great
Yeah.
feeling, especially when you're
And
winning
I was
and
very
stuff.
fortunate to have like good coaches who knew that I had potential because my coaches actually had coached Paralympians before. So they actually like recognized obviously that I had a disability that would qualify for paraswimming and to push me towards that and to push my training. So I was very fortunate to swim with the club that I did when I was younger because that is definitely a huge part in how I got scouted so quickly.
Here's a graphic of you, 2016. You had six personal bests, and you came back with a whole bunch of them, at the BC Summer Games. So that must have been a really great feeling, winning your first medal in that regard.
Yeah.
We're taking all the train, like all the training, all the rest of it. I'm assuming and guessing that you're not letting, your situation. Hinder you in any way, that you're plowing ahead and away you go, right? So, but that just adds a level of reward to all the
Yeah,
hard work that
winning
you put
definitely
in.
feels nice. So those always mean a lot. That picture that you just showed was me 2016 BC Games. So that feels like so long ago now. But
Sure.
yeah, those I think those are my first, I guess you could call them major medals, because for me in that moment, being little young Ariana, it felt pretty major. So that's
Absolutely.
definitely a point where like you're pushing towards the next level of medals, which would have been the following year, Canada Games winning more medals. So
Yeah.
yeah, it's definitely rewarding.
Did you I won't stay too much time on the subject, but I mean, how did the last couple of years affect your training and overall ability to maintain and keep going through COVID and all the rest of it?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I mean, COVID definitely had a rough patch for every single athlete. So, I mean, I can't complain too much because everybody had hardships during this time. And I was out of the water, I think, for 3 to 4 months, like out of an actual pool. But I actually swam in oceans and in lakes. So I'm from Surrey. So I literally swam, if you know where this is, I swam at Crescent Beach in like March. And March
Wow.
isn't warm, so the
No.
ocean was very cold. But that's how committed I was to my grind, because you got to think, COVID happened in 2020, and this is when I was aiming to go to the Tokyo Games. So I was very motivated to keep training. So I was literally training in oceans with jellyfish in the cold. So yeah, there's definitely that kind of hardship. And then eventually, we did go back into the pool in July. And then that year, unfortunately, I did not get to go to the Tokyo Games, which is obvious because I'm not a Tokyo Paralympian. And those are for reasons outside of anyone's control. They never hosted a trials for Tokyo. So they took the team who went to Worlds in 2019, and I was not on that team. So unfortunately, there's a lot of upsets about this, but a lot of the up-and-comers never got a shot to try out for Tokyo. So I basically just had all that training, just like, sorry, like we can't do anything for you. Like I never got the chance to show that. So that was the biggest hardship for me in COVID, was never getting the chance to try out for Tokyo because I had a shot at making the team, and I never got to show that. So that
How do
was
you
my biggest hardship.
come through it?
Well, it took me a while to accept it. I know for the first month after, everyone was really bitter. But for me, I know that I was still so young. I think I would have been like 18 at the games. I was 17 when this all went down. So I was like, I am so young. Like I have so much time ahead of me. And then when the actual Tokyo Games happened, it's only 3 years to Paris at that point because the games ended up happening in 2021. So for me, it was like, okay, it's only 3 years, and think about how much stronger you're going to be in 3 years because you're only getting older. Like I was still so young, like I'm only just hitting the age where I can start to put on muscle and I can start to actually hit a good point in my career. So once I accepted that Tokyo wasn't going to happen, I had to accept that that wasn't the worst thing in the world, because then when my time finally did come to make the next games, that I would be that much stronger. Because if I had gone to Tokyo, I probably would have been dead last, like facing the reality, just because of how young I was and how, like, I wasn't as fast as I am right now, let's say. So, I mean, I like to think of it as an opportunity to just show up to Paris and just kick everyone's ass, hopefully,
Yeah,
instead of being, the last one in on the at Tokyo. So that's kind of the mindset that I had to switch to.
was there a spot? Oh, there's a bit of an echo there on your world. I'm not sure what's going on.
Oh,
I think you might have to pause that or pause your thing or mute your thing there. My apologies, but was there a spot out of COVID and all the rest of it where you're like, I think I'm done. Like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can, like, if I can, and that must have been disheartening, obviously, to have that happen. But did you, I like your optimism. I like the, let's look ahead. It's only 3 years, but was there a spot there where it was like, maybe that's it?
Yeah, I mean, I never came to the conclusion that my career was at an end because of that, because Tokyo was always going to be a stepping stone for me. That was always the goal of my coaches. It was always going to be for the experience. I was actually, like, me being a part of the national team, like the recruitment team, was me being a part of the team where they wanted us to go to Tokyo for the experience, but go to Paris to medal. So that was always my goal ever since, like, let's say 2019, when my first, like, international debut. It was always the goal to make Tokyo for the experience and then Paris. So, like, it was never for me, like, it was never like, oh, if I don't make Tokyo, like, that's the end of the world, I'm gonna stop. So it was obviously like a bit of a, like, dark period, just mentally, just knowing that this wasn't experience wasn't gonna happen, but it was never the end of the world for me, because I knew that that wasn't the goal. So I had a bit of a positive light on that
In that journey
too.
and what you've kind of been going through, tell me about this young lady here. This is somebody that was an
So,
inspiration or to you or a mentor, correct? What's her name?
yeah, so her name is Aurélie Rivard. She was a huge mentor for me when I was younger, because we have the exact same disability. Like, you look at her hand there, my hand is the same. And also because she swims pretty much the same events that I swim. So, that was always someone I, like, looked up to when I was younger, being like, wow, she's a Paralympian. I want to be a Paralympian one day. And it's a kind of a quick, crazy switch, because she went from, like, a huge mentor for me, for someone that, like, I now compete with, and for someone that, like, I see myself more, like, on the same, not quite the same level, because she's accomplished, like, great things, but somewhere where I hope to be one day, and somewhere where I'm actually, like, seeing myself now. So yeah, that's pretty cool for me.
Do you speak, I mean, you compete against her now. Do you speak to her still? Like the, do you guys, or is it kind of full on competition now?
Yeah. No, we're still teammates. Like, at the end of the day, we're all, like, competing for
Yeah,
Canada,
of course.
and she's still winning all her medals and stuff. So I'm just trying to creep up the ladder and slowly make my way towards the level that she's at. Like, at the past Worlds, I placed sixth place, at my best event, which is 50 meter freestyle, and she still places first, but it's better than me not even being on the charts at all. So I'm working my way up there. Like, I now swim
Sure.
in finals with her, which is kind of a it's a big deal, but yeah, it's different now.
Can you redefine what's the name of your ailment? What's the name of this condition?
I mean, I define it's called dysmalia. It just basically
Dysmalia.
means it's congenital impairment from birth. So me and Orly, we were both just born like that. We were born missing fingers, part of our hand. So I just use the term dysmalia.
Yeah. And you obviously you grow up with it, so you don't know any different, but what's that been like in the world, adjusting to this? And how do you, I mean, obviously you're right-handed and all the rest of it, and you have to and do everything, but what how has that been as an adjustment in life?
I mean, anyone with a disability, you have to overcome barriers of all kinds. And for me, it was always an adaptation. Like, there's nothing I'd say I can't do. Like, I've just had to learn. Like, I've had to do a little bit extra to figure out how to do something in the way that someone else with two hands can't. Like when I was younger, like I always used to be devastated that I couldn't do the monkey bars. But I actually got a prosthesis exactly for that, with like, it was like a hook device, so I actually could do the monkey bars. But it turns out the issue wasn't my hand, it was just that I wasn't strong enough. So there's that. I mean, there's little things in life, and there's always, you know, being different in any kind of way is going to be a challenge to overcome. And one thing that I wish like I knew when I was younger was to be more confident in myself, because I used to be ashamed of my hand. I used to try to hide it. I used to always wear the long sleeves, put my hand in my pocket. And that's something that I've had to overcome, is probably the biggest thing is confidence, just because as humans, you're always like someone judging you. And sure, that was one of my biggest fears. So, I mean, I just had to, my biggest challenge, I wouldn't say will be overcoming physical like adaptations, but more of like a confidence thing for me.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you've worked at it, obviously. And, and I think, working hard at what you love with swimming and competing and winning medals, and that just keeps building and building confidence. And, you know, and it just kind of keeps adding to the story, right?
Yeah.
It just keeps adding to the story, which, you know, which takes us to this, you know, final part of this, which is, what will you do next? Mm-hmm. You dabbled in it a little bit. You missed the Olympics, but you're gearing towards it. So, Ariana, what will you do next?
Well, so I think I just mentioned I went to Worlds last year, and that was my first senior international team. That was my first time competing against the best of the best, really. And so there's actually another World Championships this year in 2023. And my goal is to make that team and maybe even have my eyes set on a top three position. You never know. But my goal, my big goal is to make the team, improve my times, and see where that lands me. And then obviously my big goal is making Paris 2024, which is the next Paralympic Games. And I should mention, I actually just recently qualified. Like, I got my qualifying times for Paris, which is super cool, because I never really had, I was on the cusp of those times for Tokyo, but it's kind of cool because I've now like solidified two qualifying times for Paris, which means that for the qualifying event, like if I swam those times again, which I plan to, if not faster, I would make the team, which is pretty cool. So that's my like next biggest goal. Like, eyes are on Paris now, like Tokyo's in the past. Mm-hmm. So, and then, yeah.
That's amazing. And you've battled through that, which has been awesome. And so the first goal here is to make the World Championship. The second goal is to make the Olympics. So I got somebody, I got somebody standing by the Paralympics. Yeah. I got somebody standing by who has an incredible story, who is an Olympian, who had to battle through diversity, suffered a great deal of injury and all the rest of it. And came through the other side and made the Olympics again. And she wanted to stop by and say a little hello. Okay. So I want to welcome to the, this is Mercedes Nickel.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Sorry, I'm just stuck cooking dinner for my mom who just got a hip surgery.
Mercedes is coming to us from Whistler, all the way up in Whistler. And, Ariana is Ariana's in Quebec, but she's a Surrey kid. That's you missed the part where she swam in the swam and trained in the ocean during COVID. So I thought that was a hell of a story. Yep. That's swimming amongst the jellyfish. But I wanted to bring Mercedes in because Mercedes has been the four Olympics is one of the greatest stories in the history of sports. And I just wanted to introduce the two of you and say hello. So Mercedes, meet Ariana. And welcome to Do Did Will, friend.
Thank you. I'm so excited to follow the rest of your journey. I just caught how your quest can be like the hardest part. So I wish you the best of luck. Mm-hmm. And I know I found it one of the most challenging times of my life. So it's qualifying for it, so probably no different.
Yeah.
You know, that's super cool. It's super inspiring always talking to people who've been to multiple games, because it is quite an experience, and each cycle is totally different too. You have to completely like regroup to make the next one. So Super impressive that you did four. Like, that's insane. Congrats.
I don't recommend it. I only did it because I was injured and I needed redemption and I came back. But yeah, now it's a lot of life.
Well, and, good for you.
Yeah, and it's to understand how difficult it is to actually get to the game. So congrats, and you're going to hopefully be in.
Thank you.
That's amazing. Mercedes, awesome. I know you're cooking, and,
nice
and,
to meet you.
And I appreciate the time. And Mercedes got a great podcast, too, called Dropping In. You'll love that, too. So she speaks to Olympians and future Olympians as well. So
hey, totally.
Thanks, Mercedes. Take care. Bye.
Nice to meet you.
She's an old
That's
friend.
That's so cool.
Yeah, she's great. She's a super inspiration. You got to check out her story. She absolutely...
she did four games is crazy. That's so impressive.
But to make that the most impressive one to me, I mean, obviously you make your first games and mm-hmm. you go through the process, but that fourth game,
yeah,
she got really, really injured on the third games.
Okay, yeah.
And she was able to battle back and make the team for the fourth one. So I love her Amazing. Story and she's wonderful. So yeah, hopefully she'll you can read and listen to her story. And it'll help mm-hmm. you with your journey along the way because mm-hmm. she trains extremely hard. And yeah, it was there. So we'll wrap up here in a minute. But I definitely to make the Olympics and all the rest of it. But is there your future? What have you thought about outside of that? And I'm not taking away from making the team or not making the team. Do you have grander plans as far as traveling the world? Do you have grander plans, you know, career wise? Mm-hmm. Coaching, anything like that, or just public speaking and inspiring young kids around the world. What do you think you want to do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a plan as so far in like the broad future, because I also say that I'd probably want to go to the 2028 games as well. Like, yeah. I don't think that's off my radar. So that's like already years away. So we'll see. Like I'm currently in my first year of school in finance just to like play around with kind of, you know, what I want to do in my future. So that's kind of what I'm working on right now. But currently I do love doing this kind of like speaking and inspiring people. I do love to be a representation of persons with disabilities because I feel like representation is so important. And I think it's important that people recognize the Paralympics as much as they do the Olympics. So that's something I'm hugely passionate on. And I hope like the more I can do in my swimming career, that can like, I can use that and I can use that image to promote the Paralympics and para athletes and people with disabilities, because I think that's super important. And that's something that I'm very passionate about. So I see myself doing a lot more of that. Like I do a lot of public speaking, advocating for that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, you sound extremely inspirational already, Ariana, and I loved your story. And I said the will part of this show, the do did will, the will part of this show. You're the first person I thought about for this show, for the will part, because I really think that you're going to change lives here. I really think that you are going to make this country proud on top of all your accomplishments already, but I just want to mm-hmm. wish you all the best in your career. And Mercedes says, she's going to follow along as well.
Yeah.
So, all the best to you in that regard.
Thank you.
Last question for you, on this whole thing is, what's your favorite memory so far of this journey that you've taken?
My favorite memory. Oh my gosh. That's so hard because there are so many. Like I say, my favorite memories come from any time I travel, getting to travel and like see the world. Like I've been to so many different places, like Poland, Italy, Spain, Portugal, like just places that you wouldn't even dream of going in your like lifetime. I've been to in like the past couple of years. So my memories are always coming from traveling the world. But I guess I'd still have to say my biggest like memory would still be winning my first medal at the Para Pan Am Games in 2019. Because I don't think anything compares to the feeling of being on a podium on like an international stage in like any kind of huge games and just seeing that you've won a medal for your country, like the joy that comes from that and like seeing like the people supporting you. So there's no greater memory than representing Canada. So I love to compete for my country. And I think those will be my favorite memories moving forward. So Watch out for me on a podium sometime in the next few years.
We'll be watching and cheering extremely loud. So that's great. Ariana, I appreciate you making the time today. You can follow her at ariana.huntsicker on Instagram and hopefully on everything soon because she's blowing up around the world. All the best to you in school. All the best to you in your training. I'll be watching very closely to see how you make out with your journey here to the World Championships and eventually into Paris, which would be amazing to see and a great accomplishment for you. And all the best to you. So stick around for just 1 minute just great stuff, Ariana. Thank you
thank
so much.
Thank you.
That's Ariana Huntsicker. She has got an incredible future ahead of her. I just can't thank her enough for stopping by. Make sure you follow her on all the things because we're getting her right at the beginning of this journey here. We're getting her right at, it's the beginning of a journey she's been on for a very, very, very long time, but it's the beginning of the journey that we get to watch, which is her trying to make the Olympics. And she's got a massive cheerleader over here with myself. So Ariana.Huntsicker is where you can follow her. This is the Dude Did Will, the Story of People podcast for another week. Please like, follow, give a little rating if you would on all the rating places. If you like the show, I'd certainly enjoy hearing from you and keep tuning in every week because we're going to keep having inspirational stories like this from people that do, that did, and will. It's the Do Did Will podcast, the Story of People podcast for another week. Thanks, everybody.
Hey, listeners, I'm Christy.
And I'm Melissa, and this is Buried Motives, where we dig deep into the details of some of the most gruesome
dirtbag murderers. She said she enjoyed hurting things that can't fight back.
And that is a disturbing view into the mind of a murderer. And such a dirtbag.
Yeah, that's not even strong enough words. This is totally a recipe for disaster. And not to justify whatever is going to happen, but you can totally understand and see how this would be in the works.
If you were only to look at what she did later on and not know any of that history, she would appear like off the wall crazy.
Oh, 100%. Because we're not even close to getting to the end yet. But you can just see this pattern and all this kind of stuff developing in her, which is what we're here for. We're digging deep.
Join us each Thursday as we unearth the dirt bags that live among us
and the motives buried there. Hope you join us as we exhume the truth.
It is your favorite girl. That's right. It's the Allie Mars, the one and the only. Everyone else just ain't me. I am the host of Welcome to Mars, a lifestyle podcast where nothing is off the table. I have come a long way from sex and dating. And have transformed the new vibe to all things lifestyle. We still talk sex, but I'm more interested in the journey, where people have come from, how they made it, and where they're going. Subscribe or follow to a brand new look and a brand new era. Welcome to Mars.
Subscribe or follow on Apple, Spotify, Google, or at theallymars.com.
Because even with the new look, I'm still that same bitch you love to hate.